Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaela Shadael. Hello. On this show, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about a few amazing concepts that appear in an article written by the great Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag called Peace in the World. He wrote it in the 1930s or 40s, and this article is relevant today more than ever. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah. The great Yehuda Ashlag wrote one of his main articles about peace in the world. And in this article, he's trying to understand why there's no peace in the world to this day and what can we do in order to bring peace to the world. We know both from here in Israel and from the rest of the world that the world is in constant conflict. And even if it seems for a moment that something's calming down, after a short period of time, things start erupting again. Countries against countries, people against people, wars. We know this both from our life here with our neighbors and also within our country, meaning peace isn't only between countries, but it's also between people. And on this show, we'd like to scrutinize the main principles in this article. And I'd like to start with the first principle that the article begins with, where it said that actually everything in the world is necessary. There's nothing redundant, everything has a right to exist, and it's forbidden for us to eradicate or get rid of anything. Meaning both the good things and the bad things are necessary for the sustenance of the world, of our development, meaning nothing's redundant. And if you can explain this principle a bit more deeply. Because the whole of creation is formed by the upper light, which is whole and complete, and from it, it generates the point of creation, which is its complete opposite, existence from absence, a black point on the white background, and it starts developing this point with its different qualities. And once the qualities of the light pass through this black point, they build in it qualities that are the very opposite of the light. And what we get is a system which is a complete copy of the upper light, of the Creator. And what we get is a created being, in Hebrew, nivra, from the word bar mimadrega, meaning outside of the Creator. That's the complete opposite of the Creator. Meaning in different things and ways and forms and methods and laws and approaches and urges and everything that we don't even know about. Everything is the complete opposite of the Creator. Really a complete copy in all forms, shapes, manners, qualities, everything. And this created being, eventually, as it or he develops, discovers his oppositeness. And he starts seeing that there are such things there that seem to him redundant, that they're the opposite of the Creator, that they're unwanted. And it seems to the created being that if he'll get rid of them, then by that he can gain something and come closer to wholeness, perfection, eternity, the upper force. And this is a bad approach. This approach is called world reformers. That what the Creator created as his opposite, they think that it's possible to erase this oppositeness, replace it artificially, and then things are going to be great. And in many cases in life, we see then the more we advance in technology, in our technical skills, we can do serious damage in the world to man himself and in general to the whole of reality, to our environment, because we have the power to do it, but not the brains, not the reason. We don't understand that the world is perfect and that our only problem is that we have to mutually supplement its parts in the system and the correct communication between them. This is the problem. And the only one that can connect all of these parts is man, that has to draw from above the force of light, and for the force of light to tie all of these opposite parts that hate each other and so on, to tie them, to connect them correctly. We can do it, but we can demand of the upper force to come and do it. This is the correction of the world, which we have to perform, to only ask, without intervening ourselves in creation in any other way. I want to ask about this way of thinking, because each of us has plenty of things that we look at and they seem corrupted, that we'd like to correct, even on the still degree. There are earthquakes and floods and air pollution and different things that seem redundant. Sure, only we don't know what the reason is, and we think that we can correct these things by forcefully bending things one way or another. We don't understand that all these things seem to us distorted, corrupted, because this is how we see them. If we'll correct our participation, then by that we will soothe and calm down all of the laws of nature, all of the natural phenomena. So it means that there are many things that we relate to as bad things in the world. Really? You don't say. I agree that they're bad, only I don't agree with their correction the way humanity sees it. I'm not asking about the correction yet. I'm talking about the general approach. That, as the great Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag says, we have to see everything as a whole, as one. Like you said, a perfect world. When we look at the world, we don't see that it's perfect. It seems corrupted. There are many things on the still level, on the animate level, viruses and other things, or things like mosquitoes that, who needs them? And on the human level, sure there are everything that has to do with our relationships and our different traits that seem horrendous. Starting with anti-Semitism, terrorism, and many other things that are really horrible things in humanity. And we see lots of evil, many flawed things. This is how they seem to us, bad things. And you're saying, no. And the Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag says, no, maybe at the moment it seems to you incorrect. No, of course today it's incorrect. And it's not that it only seems incorrect. It's really incorrect, really harmful things, diseases, different bad things, the destructive forces of nature. Sure. But the way we're trying to treat these things, that's incorrect, that we want to uproot the evil. And the wisdom of Kabbalah says, no, you have to correct the evil. And by this, you will supplement nature. What's the difference between correcting and uprooting the evil? Because there's no phenomenon that is bad in and of itself. But it appears to us now in an unpreferable way. But were we to invert it, we could get a lot of use out of it. So we can use any phenomenon. Today, we already understand that it's forbidden for us to kill wolves, for example, or birds, or something else, even if they're harmful in some way. because it seems to us as though they're harmful. But every animal, every individual has a place in the general picture of nature. Otherwise, we're destroying. We're destroying, and there's a big problem in the general balance. Yeah. Let's talk about a person's internality. In nature, these are things that we can somehow understand, but inside of us, as human beings, we have different inclinations and qualities. That were you to ask me, I tell you, you know what, Dr. Lightman, I have a list of different things that I see about me that I'd get rid of half of them. I agree? If so, how am I supposed to relate to what it says in the article that there is nothing redundant in the world, and if it seems wrong to me and I'd be happy to destroy it and get rid of it, then no, it's a mistake. We need everything there is in the world. So how am I supposed to relate to that list of things about me that I don't want? First of all, thank God that you can't uproot them from yourself. Why? Because no matter how much we tried, since the beginning of time and to this day, to eradicate from the world and from people and from everything there is, things that seem to us harmful and redundant, we did not succeed in any of them. Any of them. Because the Creator, He keeps and protects these things, and He gradually gives us the mind to understand that we have to use it in a special way. What's the use of all the negative things that I see in me and around me? You have to balance them with positive things. To balance them. The code for succeeding in seeing a whole and perfect nature is balance, that we have to balance things. In us too, there are plenty of forces and phenomena that's as if negative. It's because you still don't see how they can supplement the opposite, that as if positive phenomena, and then between them you'll see how much suddenly something new opens up. Really, like a treasure of emotions, attainments, forces, energy, truly a new dimension. You're actually talking about a balanced state, which is preferable to a state where there is only good. No such thing. There can't be good without bad. There cannot be good without bad. Why? Because this is how nature is built. You can't do anything about that. Please tell me, how is that possible? Is there a plus without minus? Doesn't exist. Let's leave man aside for a moment. This really confuses us. Let's look at the still vegetative and animate nature. Everything has its opposite. It can't be any other way. So why is it built this way that I'm given something negative and then, like it says in the article, look, you feel that there is something negative about you? Wait a second. Don't go and eradicate it. And now you're saying that if you'll do it, then it will be lacking from that wholeness and perfection that's made out of balance. Balance between something that seems negative to you right now and something that you're destined to discover that's positive, and in the supplementation and balance between them, you can really discover something whole and perfect. Yeah? So why is it built this way? Because there is the Creator and there is the created being. At the core essence of creation, Bria in Hebrew, that comes from the word Baal, which means outside of the Creator. So you have someone that exists outside of the Creator, meaning that he has qualities that are different from the Creator, that are opposite to the Creator. What is the Creator? The positive force of bestowal and love. And how did you bring him into the equation? I didn't. He's there from the very start. It's the eternal force. This is nature. Nature, the positive force that bestows and loves. And opposite to it, he has created the negative force called the created being. Because the created being was created by the Creator in a nature that's opposite to the Creator, in a nature of wanting to receive, to swallow everything to his own benefit, for his own pleasure. So you have two forces, the positive force of giving and the negative force of reception, and they have to reach balance, completion, supplementation. How? That the force of the created being will receive everything that the Creator wants to give him on the one hand, and on the other hand, that his reception will be as giving to whom? To the Creator? So what follows is that the Creator gives the created being, and the created being gives to the Creator, and then they reach equivalence. So what does the Creator give the created being? Bad things? No, because I see bad things about me. Where did this come from? This came from the Creator. Or in general, in the world, I see bad things. Where did they come from? All of them came from the Creator. But it's because the created beings that receive from the Creator are not in equivalence of form with Him, are in disparity of form with Him. Can you explain this? Because they're not receiving from the Creator in order to become like Him. Let's start with the negative things that we see about us and around us. They come from the Creator. Everything comes only from Him. What for? In order to fulfill the created being, in order to give Him pleasure. These aren't things that make us feel good. True, because the created being, when he receives these things, he receives them incorrectly. That's why there is a wisdom called the wisdom of Kabbalah, literally meaning the wisdom of reception, how to receive from the Creator and enjoy, how to receive from the Creator correctly. It's an entire, very deep, special wisdom. How do I receive all the plenty and abundance from the Creator? And what does it have to do with all the negative things that I see in me and around me in the world? All the negative things only point out that you still can't receive them correctly. You still can't correctly receive that which comes from the Creator. I want to ask about the negative or bad inclinations in each one of us. In the state that you've described, that nature, to begin with, consists of the positive and the negative equally, meaning opposite every positive thing, there's also a negative thing. Suppose I want to get rid of some negative phenomenon about me. Let's take it to the extreme. I get rid of it. What happens? Gradually, you learn, and maybe it takes a lot of time, and maybe even a few incarnations, that a person comes back to this life, but you learn that using things negatively the way they appear in you, or let's put it this way, using each and every phenomenon naturally as it appears in you is something that brings, that leads to failure. So therefore, it's better to eradicate the negative things in order not to fail. You can't erase them, you can only invert them. If I'll try to erase them, what will happen? You can't. Why? Because this is the law of nature, that you can't erase anything, but only correct the way you use it. With kids, for example, when we raise our children, we try to change bad behaviors for better behaviors or good behaviors. Meaning, is this a correct approach or not? With children, yes, that's called education. What's the difference between education and erasing something in me? The difference is correction. Education isn't correction. Education is giving people habits, where a habit becomes a second nature, and then this way a person behaves to his own benefit and to the benefit of others. But that's not correction. It's a kind of like painting over the negative discernment so they won't seem so negative. And correction, what is that? Correction is when we invert, turn all of these negative phenomena, egoistic phenomena, into altruistic, anti-egoistic phenomena. And these are corrections that are done by the reforming light called the Torah. Can you give an example for the correction of something negative that you can either paint it a bit, camouflage it, so to speak, in order for it not to seem that negative? And the other option where you correct it, where you invert the negative into positive. Well, suppose I'm a person that likes to succeed, earn, gain, be in control and power. So I study to become a lawyer. And then, with what I've acquired, the knowledge and everything, I twist people, I do different things, and no one can say that I'm doing anything wrong. I'm successful, I use the laws of the country where I live, but actually, by that, I harm people, only legally. This is called to paint or to camouflage the negative things into something that is allowed. Going back to children's education, you're saying that there are two levels. The first one is education. It's a level where we only modify the fundamental qualities that everyone has. You teach a child how to say thank you, sorry, exchange one thing for another, you'll get much more, and without having to fight. We dress our bad behavior in something for it to look good, but actually our entire intention is still to benefit at the expense of the other. Meaning I didn't change anything essential about a person's internality, but I only taught him how to con others, how to get along with what I have, but in a bit more pleasant way, in prettier colors instead of, you know, getting into trouble. Yeah, politics. The politics of how to get along in life. This is education. You're saying that this is something that a person does need, but there's a big difference between this and correction. Yes. Okay, these are the two states where we say that to uproot something is completely impossible because nature doesn't allow us to do it, even though that this is something that we're constantly trying to do. If so, then what's the right way to look at the evil, the bad that I see in the world? It's possible to correct anything. That's it. And this is the only way. And in relationships, for example, how should I work with that? Because we said that everything's whole and complete. Also here, you can correct anything. Everything can be corrected. The only problem is that we have to work on these systems, we have to build systems, we have to educate people, we have to determine certain boundaries, and this way, to educate the people and humanity in general, but only to correct. The only thing that we can do with people is to educate them. What's our fundamental mistake in our perception? That we think that without education, without giving a person the knowledge, the feeling, the experience of how to do this, demonstrating it in society, meaning teaching a person theoretically and practically, that we think that without that we can correct the world. Previously, you differentiated between two things, education that tries to take the bad that there is and color it in prettier colors so it won't really stand out that much and give us a hard time. And on the other hand, there is the correction, which isn't just to make things seem nice on the outside, but it's really to correct things in their very foundation. Now, you're saying that there's need for all the bad in the world, but you have to correct it through education. So it kind of confused me. I'm talking about education as the wisdom of Kabbalah that educates a person how to supplement creation correctly, not how to cover and hide things, not to be a politician toward others, but how does a person change himself in order to be a positive component, that this is called correction, to correct the bad thing that seems bad, and then you discover that it's not that bad, it wasn't bad, that it was intended to be good. Okay, so I have to ask about the correction itself. Previously, you gave me the example with the lawyer that had an inclination to make money and control and be in power, and now he twists everyone around his little finger. So this is an example of how to use things for your own benefit, but in a nice way politically. What does it mean to correct? To correct, it means that I correct my attitude toward reality. Not like a lawyer, that I hide the fact that I twist everyone to do what I want, but that I change myself, my participation in creation, in such a way that I supplement it in all of its parts by the power, by the force of good, love, and bestowal. And then all of creation is corrected. And what about all the negative things that existed at the foundation of the process? They're supplemented by my new behavior, and then I see a world that is completely balanced. Peace in the world, this is the name of the article. What's the most important key in order to advance toward a state of peace in the world? To form the positive force in each and every person. Meaning, love another as thyself. The simplest thing. As simple as that. The entire education is love another as thyself. Is it possible to reach a world where there is peace? We have to, sooner or later. Through more or less blows. Dr. Leitman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.